Good morning. My visual's going here. One of the things that I do during the week is work with Lighthouse Harbor Ministries. We go on to the ships in the Port of Vancouver when they come to berth and have a chance to talk to people from all over the world. This is the guy in the middle. His name is Kitz. He's a chief cook from the Philippines. I'm actually going to be meeting him and his wife in Manila in about 1 month. I don't know where he stands spiritually. When I met him on his previous ship, I gave him a little MP3 player. It has an audio Bible and also many messages in his own language. And he listened to them, and then he passed them on to his wife. And so when I met him this time, his wife was listening to the messages. One of the nationalities that we meet the most are Chinese. Filipino is probably about half the crew, and then after that it would be Indian and Chinese sailors. And this man is named Zong. I've met him twice. The first time I met him, I shared the gospel with him. I think others had been talking to him in different ports that he had gone. We connected on WeChat and we're messaging back and forth. And the last time he was in Vancouver about 3 years ago, he gave his heart to Jesus. And it's been neat to be able just to communicate with him, encourage him to read. One of the things that happened is his wife was coming to take her master's in teaching at the University of Windsor, so just outside of Toronto. She is a high school teacher, teaches Mandarin in China. And my wife and I, Susan, Nancy is on the right. We had a chance to meet her in Windsor. I have been communicating with her. We have been video chatting, trying to get her to learn as much English and develop her skills. So the family's goal is to stay in Canada. Zong doesn't want his children being raised in an atheistic society. He wants his children to have some freedom. When we arrived at our hotel, she was already there, excited to meet us, and had a chance to spend the evening over a dinner and then coffee at our hotel and talk to her about Jesus. And her and her husband are involved in a Bible study that I do on Facebook Messenger. One of the ways or how conversations start on ships is that the sailors want to know what life is like in Canada. What does it mean to be a Canadian? What is our culture? That's a hard question to answer. What is Canadian culture? What is Canadian food? You know, I am half Italian, half Scottish. My wife is Japanese. We're all Canadians. What is Canadian food, right? Maybe it's maple syrup or poutine, right? Or smoked salmon. It's hard to describe, isn't it? You know, when we look back in our family history, it probably is only a couple of generations that were new immigrants. We only go back a couple of generations. You know, when you're a new immigrant, like when my grandparents arrived, you have to get used to a new culture, maybe a new language. Maybe you go to the store and all of the ingredients for your food that you had at home are not in the store. And so you have to get used to new tastes. This is the story of Canada. But it's not a new story. It's an old story. This morning, I want to look at a woman who has this story. Her name is Ruth. Her story is a true story. It is about a woman who had to learn a new culture. But also, I want us to see it's also our spiritual story and learn some spiritual lessons. This woman, Ruth, had to leave her homeland, go to a new place. She faced the same challenges that new immigrants face. And her story begins, oops, that's my grandparents there. Her story begins with a famine. There was a famine in the country of Israel. And the first person we come across is a woman named Naomi. She is the mother in this family. And as mothers, she has a key part to play. And Naomi and her husband and their two sons leave their homeland. They're looking for a better life. They're looking for food. They're thinking of their children and what's going to happen with the future. And so they leave Israel and they move to the country of Moab. Now the Moabites were related to the children of Israel, but not in a good way. Moab was the son of a man named Lot when he slept with his wife. And that is their history as a nation. That's where they came from. And even though they were related, when Israel was freed as slaves and they leave Egypt and they start their journey to become a nation, the Moabites were the one who tried to destroy them. The Moabites hired a prophet to curse them. The Moabites were the enemies of Israel. Further, they worshipped a god named Chemosh. And that's a picture of the god there. They worshipped a god named Chemosh. And part of the worship of Chemosh was human sacrifices. God was going to judge the people of Moab for what they did to Israel, but also for the way that they worshipped, the way that they lived. And this is the country that Ruth grew up in. It is her religion that she grows up with. And Naomi and her family move to Moab. And eventually, one of Naomi's sons marries Ruth. And so here Ruth comes in. She comes from a different culture. She comes and now is part of a Jewish family. So her religion, her faith is different. They had different food, a different God. So she is having to learn things as she has married into this family. Her and her husband don't have any children. It seems that they weren't able to have children. But then tragedy comes. First, the husband dies. Naomi's husband dies. Then Naomi's two sons die. And all that's left in this family is Naomi and her two daughters-in-law, Ruth and another lady named Orpah. And Naomi hears that rain has come back. There's growth again in Israel. The famine is over. And she wants to return back home. There's nothing to keep her in Moab anymore. Her family is all gone except for her two sisters-in-law. And Ruth has a choice to make. Does she go back with Naomi, which means learning maybe a new language, a new culture, all of these things that a new immigrant would face? Or does she just go back home, go back to her parents, find another husband? After all, she's used to the food, she's used to the culture, she's used to the religion. She has a choice to make. Does she go with what is familiar, or does she go with what is unknown? And she goes with Naomi. You know, Moab would have been very familiar to Ruth. It's where her own family was. But if she goes to this different country, she probably isn't coming back. It's not like today where you can come, then get on a plane and go back home once a year and visit your relatives. When my grandparents came on a boat, they weren't going back. And here's this choice that she has to make. And we learn this. It meant a new life for Naomi. And in the same way, when we follow Jesus, it means a new life for us. Listen to the words that Ruth says. But Ruth said, and she's talking here to Naomi. Naomi is saying, just go back home. There's no future for you in Israel. And this is what Naomi says. Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you will go and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Ruth's sister-in-law, Orpah, goes back home. She doesn't want this new life. But Ruth, she commits to it. This is a huge commitment, and she's all in. Where you're going to die, that's where I'm going to die. And that's where I'm going to be buried. You know, I think about the experiences of my grandparents. And when they came, it was all in. Their family is back in the old country, but here they're in the new country. And they're willing to die here, willing to be buried here. She was committed to staying, committed to seeing this all the way through. And Ruth is a spiritual principle of what it means to follow Jesus. Jesus told a religious man, you must be born again. It's a new start. It is fresh. Following Jesus really is a new life. It's being spiritually reborn. That means we leave our old life behind. You know, we're very much like Ruth in our spiritual history. You know, God created the first man and woman, placed them in a perfect setting. They had a perfect relationship with their Creator. God didn't force things, but He gave them commands to obey, and they chose not to obey God. In their freedom, they chose to do what they wanted to do. And their disobedience changed our world. And all of us, myself, all of us have their DNA in us. All of us, the Bible says, are sinners. We all have dishonored God. You know, you don't teach a child to lie. You teach a child to tell the truth. Their default setting is to lie. You don't teach a child, keep something for yourself. No, you teach a child to share. Our default setting is self first. We don't think of our Creator. Society encourages this, but we have it in our DNA. You know, Ruth did not deserve what God was going to do in her life. She was a Moabite. She deserved to be punished by God. She deserved God's judgments. And standing there with Naomi, she had a choice to make. Do I start a new life, or do I go back to my old life? And that's what is before us all. Do we start with a new life with God and commit to that and follow? Or do we go back to our old life? The old life is the easy life. It's what we know. The new life, we don't know what is going to come. And there are challenges. It involves learning a new language. The language of the Bible, the language of God. Our words are now controlled by God's love in us. We sing and we worship. It is different. In our Chinese fellowship at the assembly that I go to, one of the things that our Chinese brothers, my brothers and sisters have been doing is learning how to sing and practicing. There is a lady there who is a Chinese, like an opera singer, and been teaching everyone how to sing and understanding the notes. And in the past year, 2 years, it's been incredible to see how they have learned how to sing. You know, most people today, don't sing very much. Maybe you get the karaoke machine out a little bit, but that's not something, you know, you're used to. But when you come and gather with God's people, that's one of the things we do all the time. We sing. Things, skills that we're learning because we're followers of Jesus. Ruth had to say goodbye to her family. You know, and for some of us, when we follow Jesus, it means saying goodbye to our family. Or maybe our family thinks of us as different and not as open to us anymore. It's a new life for Naomi. And Ruth was willing to give up her past to follow Naomi. She left her natural home to start a new life. So the first thing we see in the story of Ruth spiritually is that following Jesus is a new life. We leave the old one behind. The second thing we see that takes place in chapters 2 and 3 of Ruth is that this new life is a life of faith. That means risks as well. Israel had kind of like a social system in the way that their society worked. God had commanded farmers, you know, if you have a field, you don't pick the stuff in the corner. You don't pick the crops in the corner. And when you go along and you harvest, you don't go over again. If anything falls or you've missed anything, just leave it. And God commanded that so that those who were poor, those who needed food, could come into the farmer's field, into the orchards. And what was left over, they could take for their food. This was called gleaning. It was God's way of taking care of the poor people. And Ruth comes into Naomi's community. She hears about this opportunity. She takes the initiative. She was not told by Naomi, hey, my daughter-in-law, we need food. Go get food. No, she says, I want to do this. I've heard about it. How does this system work? And she went and she worked in the fields. She then gathered grain and she processed it. She maybe made it into flour, did whatever she did. It was hard work. So here is this woman, brand new in this community. She finds out how to help her family and she gets at it. And she shows her love for Naomi by taking care of Naomi and taking care of her need for food. Now, Ruth would have been new in the community, and people started talking about her. Right? Maybe she stood out because of the way she spoke. Maybe her accent was different. Maybe she brought different food for her lunch. People noticed her and knew that she was different. And there was the owner of that field. It was a man named Boaz. And he was watching her. He saw that she was different. He saw that she loved her mother-in-law. And so what he told his workers is, hey, drop some extra food. Leave some things for her. And he showed kindness to Ruth. And Ruth says this. She asks, why are you so kind to me? Why are you treating me this way, Boaz? And Boaz says this as he talks to her. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. How you left your father and mother and your native land and have come to a people that you did not know before. That's what an immigrant is, right? He says, I have heard how you have treated your mother-in-law as a new immigrant in coming here. People were talking. People were looking at her and saying, she's different. But they have a problem. You see, like in many societies, if you're a man, things are a lot better for you. If you're a woman, there are challenges. And Naomi's family, or her husband, had land. But her and Ruth had no access to it because they were women. How do you survive? You have property, but how do you survive? According to their culture, they had no way to get that land back. They needed someone to help, usually a family relative. But it just happens, and the way God worked it, is that Boaz is actually a relative of Naomi, a close relative. And so Naomi tells Ruth about this custom and a way to be able to provide and to get their land back. And this is what Naomi tells Ruth. Wash and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and cover his feet and lie down. And he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say, I will do. The first thing we must realize is there's nothing sexual happening here. What she is doing by laying down at Boaz's feet in the middle of the night and saying, will you cover me, is she's in a symbolic way saying, will you protect me? Will you protect myself and Naomi? Will you help us get our land back so that we can survive? She's not sleeping with him. She's at his feet in a humble place saying, will you cover us? But she's taking a risk. She's going to a man at night where it's dark and no one sees. And she's asking for help, that for the land. That's land and money. I was talking with a lawyer recently who was getting out of the business or his practice was no longer going to be doing wills and estates. The reason for that is property is getting more and more expensive in Vancouver, and families are fighting more and more about money, fighting more and more about property. and he doesn't want the hassle. You know, families can be close, but all of a sudden, if money is involved or property, families can have problems. And here is a man who has treated her very, very nicely, but now it's dark. Now there's money at stake. Now there's property. Will he still be as kind? Now, maybe as a new immigrant, you have a situation that you need help, maybe with regards to the government. A lady in my church, someone hit her car when it was parked. And I'm helping her. What do I do? How to talk to ICBC? Make a police report and her options. She comes and asks someone who knows about how things work for help. Maybe you came to the church, or you come to people here in the church asking for help in some of these things. But there is a risk. You hope that that person is honest. You hope that person will treat you the right way and really help. Ruth and Naomi are taking a risk. But it's not fully a risk. They know Boaz. Ruth has observed how he treated his employees, being very, very kind. Naomi would have known Boaz because he was a close relative, and maybe as a boy saw him grow up and understood that character that he had. They would have known something anyways, but there was still that risk. And you know, following Jesus also involves risk or faith. After all, none of us has seen God. We're all coming to God spiritually poor. We're all coming to God asking him, in his kindness, to cover us and to protect us, to help us fix our situation. We're lying down, spiritually speaking, at Jesus' feet and saying, cover us. And this involves risk. You know, God is asking me to give my life to him, to enter into a relationship with him. But can I trust God? Can I really trust him with my life, with the choices that I want to make, now letting him make those choices? But like Boaz, God has revealed himself. We see him in history. We see Jesus. We see his love and his compassion for people. We see Jesus interacting with people, different people, and always with that kindness. We see God's holiness. We see God's forgiveness and what we deserve, and yet God treats us so much better than we deserve. You know, in the end, when we leave our homeland, when we leave and follow Jesus and commit to him, we do it in faith. There is risk. That's what it means to respond in faith. This action is essential. You know, we can believe in our minds, but unless we act on it, our new life doesn't start. So spiritually, a Christian is someone who leaves the old country and it starts a new life. A Christian is someone who takes that risk and in faith follows Jesus. And lastly, the Christian life is a life of rewards. Ruth is a short book, only four chapters. Chapter 4 is one of rewards. My grandparents left their homeland to have a better life. Maybe you left what was once your home to come to Canada to have a better life. I think that is probably the history of most Canadians, leaving a place where there were issues, problems, even just needing food, to have a new life. Parents think about their children's future when they immigrate and make that move. And Ruth, as we finish the story, Boaz helps her get the land back. But Boaz also loved Ruth. This wasn't just a relative helping another relative get some property. This was love. Genuine love. And they marry. And God gives them a child. But the writer of Ruth wants us to really understand this is more than just getting a child. This child has an important part to play in the history of Israel, in all of our history as Christians. We read this. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. He went into her, and the Lord gave her conception. And she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel." Ruth and Boaz have a son whose name is Obed. This little boy brings joy into their life. Naomi had a bitter life, and now she's holding, like you're holding the baby there, and there's excitement in the family, right? It's exciting. Her life is pleasant once again. Obed's going to have a son named Jesse. And Jesse is going to have many sons, but the youngest one is going to be named David. And David will one day grow up to be the greatest king Israel has had. And 1,000 years later, David's son, a descendant from Ruth, is Jesus. Matthew tells Jesus' family tree. And we jump in just in a couple of verses here, mentioning different people. But we see Ruth is there. Ruth is in Jesus' family tree. That's fantastic. You think about it. A woman who comes from a society that was an enemy of Israel, a woman that comes from a society that their way of worship involved human sacrifice, a woman from a society that was going to be punished by God, is now in Jesus' family tree. A woman who is an outsider isn't just brought into God's family, but she becomes an ancestor of Jesus. This is what God's kindness looks like. And this can also be our story as well. We are people who naturally are outside of God's family. We're people who, before coming to Jesus, we worship our own gods. It could be money, it could be pleasure, it could be power, many things. But we didn't consider our Creator. But if we are willing to leave our old life, to enter into a relationship and start a brand new life with Jesus, if we're willing in faith to take that risk and commit our lives to God, then God will take in His love and bring us into His family. And this can be our future as well. In my Father's house, Jesus says, there's many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to, or would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, and I'm going to take you to myself, that where I am, you also can be. As a Canadian, this story of Ruth hits home to me. It hits home the actual story, but also hits home to me spiritually. All of us are outside of God's family, but we have been brought into it. At one time we had no future. Now we have a future. We've been blessed by God, and one day He is going to welcome us into His home to live forever. So the question is this your story? Is this your story? And if it's not, it can be. Said, like Ruth, it involves leaving our old life behind. But if we're willing to risk that, oh, the future that is there. God offers us a beautiful future, but we must respond to Him. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank You for the story of Ruth. Father, thank You for the example of this woman and what she was willing to risk. And Father, what You did in her life. Father, we praise You this morning that You are a God who forgives, that You take and You will work in the lives of people who are enemies and deserve so much judgment, and You can change us, O God. Father, thank You for what You do. Thank You for who You are. Father, I pray for each person here. I pray for those watching online. Father, that we would stop for a moment and to consider, have we left all to follow You? If not, then why not do it today? Father, we thank You for the way that You forgive, and we praise You for this. In Jesus' name we pray and praise You. Amen.